Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
Today we're going to continue our series on keeping God's testimonies. And we're going to continue today with Abraham in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, and many other places in the Old Testament. God said we need to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. They're not the same. I used to, you know, in my early years when I used to read by, you know, y'all read all of those and all those, he's saying the same thing, but he's not saying the same thing. They're different. Commandment is love, you know, the commandment of love. Statutes are things like prosperity and healing. Those are statutes, you know. Judgments is daily self-judgment. And very few Christians do that, you know. Very few Christians do the judgments. Most people probably, if they do judgments at all, they probably just do during communion, which is very important. But in actual fact, you're supposed to judge yourself daily. Scripture actually says, you should examine yourself. Judgment is not condemnation. It's an examination. And see how well you're doing. And then, you know, so you can step up. And then, of course, testimonies are what God has done in the lives of other saints that is written for our admonition so that we can duplicate the same blessings God did in their lives and even do better. We New Testament Christians are some of the most privileged people on the face of the earth and in human history. We are living, Paul said it this way in Hebrews chapter 11, when he talked about all the heroes of faith, you know, right from Adam through Enoch and all of them, you know, and then he said, but they were not made perfect because they had to wait for us, this end time generation. Said, let me read it. Don't let me say it from my head. Hebrews chapter 11. If I'm going to look at two scriptures in Hebrews, and then I'll get back to Abraham in a minute. It says, right, verses 39 and 40. This includes all these guys we've been talking about, all these great guys, Daniel, David, you know, Abraham. And that's why we're going to be looking at this. This thing may even take me to the end of the year. I don't know, but I'm just going to flow with the Holy Ghost. You know, he says, all of them have obtained a good report through faith, but they didn't receive the promise. They didn't receive the promise of eternal life in the Old Testament. They weren't born again. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made. The correct Greek word is complete. The purpose of God is not completed by what David did, or by what Abraham did, or what Moses did. They were all parts of, it's like parts of a jigsaw puzzle. They did their part and they left. They did their part and they left. In fact, the scripture says about David, he says, and David served his generation and then he went to sleep with his fathers. And that's true of all of them. Now, God is telling us that all that thing they did will not be complete without us. We are the last chapter. We are the last chapter to finish what God has started. And then the rapture will happen. You know, it cannot happen until we play our part. And then this same Hebrews chapter 6, if you go there, I can quote that one, you know, from the head. It says that we, through faith, we should be imitators, followers. The Greek, the original Greek is mimetes. It says, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Go and look at the testimony of Abraham. Look at the testimony of Enoch. Look at the testimony of Joseph. Look at the testimony of Moses. Look at the testimony of Paul and so on and so forth. You know, then imitate them. Copy them. And then inherit the same promise they got. We should be followers of those who through faith and patience. And to do this, you cannot be a lazy, or like I said during the Bible study, a simple Christian. So many Christians are so simple. They think they're just, their life is just to, you know, get blessed and go to heaven. No, you're supposed to give testimonies. The things God did through the fathers, is not complete without us. And that's another scripture says in Hebrews, it says that we're in a better testament established upon better promises. Last week we saw Abraham, and we saw the call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and saw that, you know, God called him. Sadly, he took Lot along. Lot wasn't called. And later on, they separated. You know, we know the story. You know, Lot was covetous. He went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he almost died, actually. We're going to see more of that as we go on. I just say this thing, you know, Abraham was such a nice guy. He was such... I know, you see, the more you study these characters under the Holy Spirit, you begin to see their heart. You begin to see the kind of people they were. And no wonder God did what he did through them. You know what Abraham did? After Lot separated, everybody follow me to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. This will blow your mind. You know, you'll be... No wonder God was so impressed with him, you know? You see, but even before I did all of this, God already knew. He knew him, you know? I'm because of time, I'm not going to read everything. I'll just say it in brief. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, that time they hadn't been destroyed. Adama, if you look at verse 8, the king of Zeboim, the king of Bela, all kinds of terrible guys, you know. The king of Zoar, I didn't even know Zoar had a king. And they all joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. Anyway, there was a battle. Abraham took his own army. He had about 300 people in his household. He had a lot. In those days, they had slaves, you know. So they formed an army. And you know what? They rescued Lot. The Lot who betrayed him. This is the first one. This same Abraham, again, we're going to see later on, he now prays for this Lot and delivers him from Sodom and Gomorrah. But this even before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, verse 12. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then came one, verse 13, that had escaped, and told Abraham the Hebrew. This is the first thing you hear, Hebrew. There was no Hebrew before. Abraham is the original Hebrew. He's the original Jew. Hallelujah. Who's here with me? For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre. Lot was no longer with him. May you not go to the wrong place at the wrong time. If he had been with Abraham, he would never have been captured. When that battle happened with the king of Sodom, Lot was captured. So somebody escaped and came to tell Abraham. Abraham did not behave like a lot of New Testament Christians. Even though he was living in the Old Testament, he didn't say, hey, God, don't catch him. Who told him to leave me? He will learn his lesson now. Here is an Old Testament man behaving like a New Testament saint because of his heart. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained men, servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them. To cut a long story short, you know, he gets there and he rescues Lot. The human heart, honey, this sin nature, that's why perfection is not an option. So long as you have some amount of the sin nature still in your soul and body, you are capable of anything, given the right pressures and conditions. You may think now that you're good and all of that is just because the right conditions haven't come. Under pressure, you'll be amazed what you will do. And we see it all over the Old Testament. See people like Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, you know, otherwise good men. And then they just do something totally out. Or David, you know, they do something totally out of character. It's because of that sin nature. And that's why you got to do two things. Number one, dominate it. For sin will not have dominion. Then number two, don't be satisfied, dominated, get it out. Because so long as it's in there, it may lie latent and dormant for some time, But under the right conditions, it will rise its ugly head like it did with David. No. Nobody, if that thing was not in the Bible, nobody would ever believe that a man like David can do what he did. Now watch this. Abraham rescues Lot. What should Lot have done? Uncle, Emma She, Emma Binu, Mudino, Mu Lo Sodom. I'm coming back. He went back to Sodom. Look at verse 17 and 18. I'm just going to mention this because this has prophetic significance. This is where Melchizedek comes into the picture. After this battle, Abraham won the battle. He rescued Lot. And he made some money. He got a lot of spoil. They call it the spoils of war. You know. And the king of Sodom, you see, Lot was living in Sodom. So some other people came to attack Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was the battle. That's when Lot was captured. So Abraham now joined with the kings of Sodom and all that to fight those people and rescue Lot. So after they rescued Lot, you know, and they were dividing the spoils, you know, the king wanted to give Abraham something. Abraham said, I'm not taking one kobo from you. Lest you say it is you that made Abraham rich. May Christians have integrity. If it was, most of all, we'll open our mouth wide like that and then they will stuff it and then we won't be able to talk. It is not everything you accept. It is not every gift you accept. That's why I have such great respect for Elisha. Naaman comes with plenty of money and resources. And he offers Elisha a lot of money. I said, no, I'm not going to take a penny. You know why? You can't buy healing. We haven't learned anything. No. The New Testament church. Where one of the times when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and gave him the anointing to minister to sick, he said, many of my servants have been destroyed when I gave this kind of anointing. He warned Kenneth Hagin. He said, never take a fee for ministration. I don't know where our people got it from. The devil. He said, never. He said, there are people who, their children, in those days, they used to have polio. He said, they will want their children and they will offer you a lot of money. He said, don't take the money. Minister to children, don't take the money. Just take up your regular tithes and offering. But never take money for ministration. You all know. You've seen it. You see it every day. But who's, yeah, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1 million. Don't do that. It is merchandising the anointing. And we did not get it from Abraham. The Bible says we should imitate. Abraham did not take a kobo. So from the one that he made by himself, Abraham now took the tithe and then gave it to this man, this mystery man called Melchizedek. Theologians and Bible commentators and scholars say it was Jesus, not Jesus. Melchizedek was a man. Let me read it, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, this was what was going to become Jerusalem later. Much later, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God way back then. This communion. In the Old Testament, this is right in the book of Genesis. And he blessed him. That is, Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be, this time he wasn't yet Abraham. We're going to get there later. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he, that is Abraham, gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, Allah magic in Sodom she business. Yes, Ami. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand to unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from thee a thread, even to a shoe latchet. I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. How many people are children of Abraham here? That's how you should behave towards kings of Sodom. There are plenty of them around today. I don't need to elaborate. It's not everything you take. It's not everything. If they are not righteous, and I go, you say thank you. No, thank you. So this is the origin of Melchizedek. He was a real man. He was a king of Salem. The word Melchizedek means God's king of righteousness. Melchizedek. You know, and let me just check it in my... I love this, my Bible, because it's electronic and it's e-sword. You know, I can look at the Hebrew and the Greek instantly. You know, and I'll just say... It says, my God is Zadok, Melchizedek. It means my God is righteous. Zadok. That's where we get Zadok from. You know, Abraham, Pastor Andrew's second son. His name is Zadok. It was Mommy that gave that name. You know, and it means righteous. So it means my king is righteous. King. He was a real man. He's not Jesus, not an angel. And he was king of Salem at that time. Watch this. And he knew God. He was priest of the Most High God. But there was no priesthood. Levi hadn't been born. Levi was in his father's loins when he gave tithes to Melchizedek, showing the superiority of the Melchizedek priesthood over the Levitical priesthood that was still to come hundreds of years later. It is for this reason David picks it by the Holy Spirit in Psalm 100 and said, thou art a priest forever, not after the order of Aaron, not after the order of Levi, but after the order of Melchizedek. When you read things like this, you will know the Bible was written by God. Hundreds of years before Levi was born, before Moses was born, before there was a Levitical priesthood, God had Melchizedek be a type of Christ. And he was a man. Now watch this. Let me blow your mind furthermore. Do you understand? At this time, men were sinners. You know? How did Melchizedek become a priest of the Most High God? I'll tell you the answer. I've told you so many times in this series, and I'm going to keep saying it. Heart. He had an honest heart. He was living among some terrible people, Sodom and all that, but he was in Salem. He was king of Salem, and he was worshiping and honoring the Most High God. Even though Abraham had been chosen specially by God, God still had people apart from Abraham, like Melchizedek. Never think you are the only one. As God was blessing Abraham, God was blessing Melchizedek. I'll tell you something else, because you see it in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. Like I said many years ago, what would we do without Hebrews? Observe, the divine record, the scriptural record, does not record a genealogy. This Melchizedek is like a mystery thing. He just appears. He blesses Abraham. Abraham gives tithes to him. He gives Abraham bread and wine and disappears. We don't know Melchizedek's father. We don't know his mother. We don't know his genealogy. It is deliberate. He did have, but God did not record it because he was to be a type of Jesus who was to come. A priest forever. Not like the Levitical priest who would die. All of that was being planned by God without the knowledge of Melchizedek or Abraham. Talk about master chess player. He was just putting, he was putting the right pieces in the right place for what he was still going to do thousands of years later. I thank God that by his mercy and grace, he led me to do this series. Because you see, until you do this, you don't know the Bible. You don't know the deeper. You see, the superficial, Abraham's blessings are mine. This, you know, until you go deep, you don't begin to see the plan of God. God was already working out his plan. We're going to get there, but not today. Abraham gives tithes to Melchizedek, who was going to be a type, who was a type of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, that was still going to come thousands of years to come. I'm getting ahead of myself, honey, but I have to. You understand? You know, this God we're dealing with is too wise. You know what he was going to do? He was working out a legal process that would make it compulsory for God to send Jesus. So he sends Melchizedek to Abraham. Abraham pays tithes, so the windows of heaven are open. Then, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're still going to go there, but I'll just say it now and then come back. 20, 30 years later, probably a little bit more, Abraham now has Isaac. So he says, take him to the mountain, I will show you, and sacrifice him. All part of the plan. Abraham takes Isaac. We know the story. We're going to get there later on anyway. He wants to kill him, but God doesn't let him kill him. The day that thing was done, it was sealed that Jesus will come. Because Abraham gave his son, so God had to give his own son because they were in covenant. And that son now would be the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. A clap offering for the Lord. Wow! Who are you talking to? He's many, many, many steps ahead of the devil. Who is Satan? He's just an angel. One of the angels. I want to encourage you again about Nigeria. I said it a little bit in Bible study, but I'll say it again now. Using this as an example. God's already ahead of the devil in Nigeria. You think all these things are just happening? They were already being planned. As long as we are praying. See, the problem is when men don't pray, they don't give God an opportunity and a portal in which to begin to execute the plan he already has. Nigeria hasn't changed, but it is changing. And ultimately, Nigeria is going to get to the place of her destiny. And let me encourage you, Pastor Andrew. Pastor Andrew is very, very zealous about Nigeria. When Pastor Andrew prays for Nigeria, you know, let me encourage you. It took God about 200 years, probably a little bit more, you know, to get slavery abolished. It took time. But was it not accomplished? First in England, like I said during the Bible study. Then secondly, in the United States, caused a civil war. 1863, Abraham Lincoln gives the Emancipation Proclamation. By 1865, the slaves were free. But it didn't all perfect overnight. There was still discrimination for the blacks in the South. That went on for years and years and years and years, but God was still working. God was still working. 1928 or 29, a young man is born and given the name. His father was called Martin Luther, named after the man that God used to start the Reformation in Egypt, in Europe, this Martin Luther King Jr. was going to now become a man that God would use to champion the civil rights movement that ultimately now led, you know, to equality of the blacks, you know, and all of that. Today, we have had a black president in Nigeria. Who would have thought? Who? I remember, mommy had this picture of Obama. She had it. It's true. I think he's even still there, you know, by her bed. You think he's her boyfriend, but I'm only joking. You know, praying. I remember Pastor Boyega. You know, Pastor Boyega lived in America. You know, and Pastor Boyega said, "Pastor, you don't know America. I have the black man, America. It can't happen. It can't." And truly, in the natural, he was right. Even Obama didn't believe first. Obama was just trying, He was just trying. He was just trying. He said, well, maybe, you know, he was just a senator in from Chicago. You know, just said, well, let me try. And even if I don't win this time, next time I'll win. But lo and behold, a clap offering for the Lord. Didn't America get there? They got there. Nigeria will get there. And it's not going to take us 200 years. I said that to encourage us. God is working. The fact that everything hasn't perfected does not mean God is not working. First, the first thing that had to be done was America to get independence. America got independence from the King of England. Slave trade was already happening. Then God abolished slavery in UK. Then later on, the American Civil War. Then God now abolished slavery in America. You know? Then there was still discrimination with the blacks. Now went on for years. But God was still working. Don't your neighbor say, God is working in Nigeria. God does not stop working. That is why you must not stop praying. And finally, God put a black man in the White House. A black man in the White House that was built by black slaves. And he hasn't changed. So you see, this Nigeria, with all the corruption and the government, it will still be that land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia where righteousness will prevail. He is still working. So don't be discouraged. We've had some victory, but not everything we want. Don't start saying nonsense with your mouth. For by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Keep saying the right thing. Keep praying the right thing. And the day will come where the Nigeria that is written in the Bible will be the Nigeria that you see. No complaining in our streets. Our oxen strong to labor. Our young men, you know, like plants grown up in their youth. Our daughters like the similitude of a pala. Ah! It's coming. It's on the way. And you and I will be here to enjoy it. For the husbandman that laboreth will be the partaker of the first fruits. This is not the time to exit Nigeria. Don't jackpot.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.